Alrighty then, let's talk sports, not politics. open mic night. I get so frustrated. But anyway, I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and this is North Shore Sports Night on this Monday evening, toward the end of February already. Amazing, amazing. Well, it'll be St. Patrick's Day before you know it, Coach, so that's something to celebrate. Alrighty then. We got a mostly hockey show tonight, but we'll have some other stuff as well. Bill Newell will be at a basketball game that he is covering in the tournament, Division Lynn Classical and English. They're Division One, aren't they? So boys basketball tonight. Bill is over there covering that game, and we'll be checking in with Bill in a little while. Otherwise, it's hockey for the most part, although we'll have our usual report from Gary Larrabee talking about golf and other stuff as well. But we do have hockey coaches, mostly from Division II. I think they're all from Division II here. We'll be talking with John Gardner of Linfield, Marblehead's Chris Wells, Andrew Jackson of Masconomet, Dale Dunbar from Winthrop, and Triton's Ryan Sheehan, all lined up for this evening. We want to wish Derek Geary to feel better. He's a little under the weather, and Coach Geary from Gloucester not able to talk with us this evening, trying to get some rest, as they will be playing, the Fishermen will be playing tomorrow. Number 7 Gloucester versus number 10 Wakefield in Division 2 at Stoneham at 6 p.m. So that's our lineup in terms of what we have for interviews and so on. Coach, what's on? What are you looking at in terms of sports?
Well, it's always fun time of year for high school sports, certainly, and it's good to have a lot of local teams involved in the tournament, and want to congratulate the hockey and basketball team at Gloucester High for getting into the tournament. And Gloucester basketball has a home game tonight. It's unfortunately the hockey team has to travel. Is that neutral site?
They're all neutral sites.
Oh, okay.
They're all neutral sites. Yep. Watertown, Woburn, Stoneham, I believe.
It makes it a little tough. For fans to get over there, especially at the time the game is starting, because you get a 6 o'clock start, and it's crazy because you got to get down 128 at that time. That makes it tough, and a lot of fans just might not go because. But nonetheless, want to congratulate Liam Donahue from Gloucester High School. He is the 145-pound Division III state wrestling champion, and he breezed through the competition in the. In the state finals, he had 4 consecutive wins. 3 of them were pins, and this is a program that you know you mentioned in the before we went on in the air that former Principal Anderson started as he was a wrestler, and we should note that. And this is a program that has grown by leaps and bounds and has produced its first state champion, and that can only really serve as a catalyst for more kids to get involved. And then certainly Manchester Essex, Mia Cromwell and Will Kenny finish up some of the best at the All-State at the Reggie Lewis Center in Boston. Kenny turned in a 5th place finish in the mile. And let me see. I'm trying to see where Cromwell finished. I didn't make that note down. She finished 8th in the 1,000. Okay. Also, India Njemi from Beverly won the state title in the 300 meter. She's had just an outstanding career at Beverly High School, and I want to pass on kudos to her. So local athletes have performed well on an individual level in the state tournaments this winter. So congratulations to one and all there.
Very cool. Very cool. Very nice. Okay, it's time we take a break, and then we'll come back and check in with Linfield High School hockey coach John Gardner here on this Monday evening. It is North Shore Sports Night. We'll be back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
You'll love the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, as they feature a menu to please everyone. Start your meal with your choice from a dozen delicious appetizers. There are also soups and fresh salads. Dinner selections include burgers, sirloin tips, chicken parmesan, chicken piccata, and then there's seafood, clams, haddocks, salmon, lobsters, and fish tacos. Plus a wide selection of sandwiches and wraps. Let the Bradford Tavern host your events or functions set in unique spaces. Open 6 days a week, Tuesday through Sunday. The Bradford Tavern, Route 133 Rowley, and BradfordTavern.com. The North Shore is listening to MSONewsSports.com and our great selection of podcasts.
Hi, this is Phil Stacey, Executive Sports Writer at the Salem News. Make sure to listen to our podcast every week with the sports writers from the Salem News, including Matt Williams, Nick Giannino, and myself.
MSO News Sports, connecting you to the North Shore.
All right, we're back now with Linfield High School hockey coach John Gardner. And, Coach, welcome back. How are you doing?
Excellent.
All righty. Listen, let's get down to it now. Did you guys play after Gloucester last week? Have you had a game since then?
We have not.
Okay. So we'll talk a little bit about that one. I know that was a tough one to swallow, but I'm going to tell you, from a fan's perspective, it was incredible. And I thought, I think it was John Simonetti, I think he rung the post there with about 5 seconds left. That would have tied it. So how do you assess that game, Coach? Because, again, from a fan's viewpoint, man, it was tremendous.
It was. It was just what both teams probably wanted going into the tournament. We knew it would be a tournament vibe with the Talbot and just being the last game of the regular season, getting implications on the line. So we were happy with the back and forth. I felt like we carried the play.
Mm-hmm.
We've very much been in a charitable mood in first period, just giving teams leads and trying to dig our way out. So it took a lot of energy to battle back from three separate two-goal deficits. I thought we were going to get them at the end. At the last 3:46, we had our top unit out there for the entire 3:46.
Right.
It was a timeout.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And a couple whistle stoppages. So. We almost drew it even, but again, good hard puck game, good game to get ready for the tournament.
Well, again, you know, it's they say the game of inches thing, and that's what it was. But so impressive, your captains, John, as you've been saying all year, John Simonetti up front. That line was tremendous with Sam and Nate, Sam Pifko and Nate Alves. But man, the two guys back on D, they can carry the load as well as play great defense. Danny Mack and Ronnie Fasillo.
For sure. Danny's has kind of grown his game over the past 4 years. His brother, Joey, was a really offensive defenseman. Danny was a defensive defenseman his first few years, and this year he's kind of opening up, improved the shot, and he's still got that, he's very, very physical.
Yep.
Has a lot of big hits throughout the game. And Ronnie Fucillo for us has been a forward D. We call him Ronnie Versatillo. he plays wherever we tell him to. So he recently switched back to he was initially on our top line with Sam and John, and then we felt we needed him on the back end helping us out with breakouts and helping us out down the stretch for the tournament. So maybe only three or four games this year since we switched him. So. But he's been a good boost for us offensively and defensively.
Coach, you guys are ranked number 11, and it's separating 11 from, I think, 5 or 12 from 5 is like maybe a point or two. But in the middle of the pack in Division 2, that looks like the toughest draw, and you're starting with North Andover tomorrow at 8 p.m. So what can you tell us about them?
They're a very good team, very, very well balanced, three lines that can score on you. Their goalie's very good, even their backup goalie's a good goalie. Their defense, they have like six or seven D that can play, and three or four that can hurt you from the back end with their legs and their shots. We're going to have our hands full. We generally try and play in those first one to three / hold them to one if you can't get to three kind of deals. So that's kind of what we expect. We've seen a lot of film on, you know, we were very similar in goals for, goals against, and we really didn't blow anyone out, neither did they. They didn't get blown out by much, neither did we. So we're expecting a tough battle. You never know with these, you know, cross-conference games, you know, some leagues play a different style, so you never know when they eventually collide.
All right, you got the late game, is that right, 8 o'clock in Woburn?
Correct.
All right, that's tomorrow, Tuesday, 8 o'clock in Woburn, Linfield versus North Andover. And, Coach, we're talking to a lot of coaches tonight, so I'm not going to keep you all night. But, again, final report card, I guess, going into final exams. How do you assess your team? Because I'll tell you, as I said, that was just such a great game, and it was and you guys did. You carried the play for the majority of the night. So what's the report card on your team?
You know, we're a good team. If we avoid any landmines like the slow starts we've had kind of consistently through the year, we can beat anybody as long as we don't beat ourselves. Again, this D2 North is just, it's gone from me saying last year 10 teams could win it to me saying 13 teams mm-hmm. could win it. I wouldn't even be surprised in the least of a 13, 12, 10 seed wins the whole North. That's how deep it is. So it's just like you never know, lights, camera, the tourney, the big stage, how kids are going to respond, and I feel like we've played a tough schedule, ran them through the ringers physically and mentally, and our guys will be ready to go tomorrow.
Sounds good, Coach. I want to talk throughout the tournament, win, lose, or draw, but good luck tomorrow night, and bring home the bacon back here to the North Shore.
Thanks a lot, Rick. Thanks, guys.
Take care, John. Appreciate it.
Good luck, Coach.
John Gardner, who is the head coach at Linfield High School. Great group of guys. And I was talking to some coaches the other day, and talking with the Gloucester coach, as a matter of fact, and they just they've struck up this relationship with the Gardner brothers and the Gardner and the Linfield staff to have these games, and it has become quite a rivalry, and it was just an excellent game the other night.
Well, you know, we're looking at the pairings here from the MIAA and the and the bracket. It's like, oh my God. It's like every tough hockey town team is in this tournament, you know. And the surprise is Danvers at number 15 and 9-9-2, and they had a struggle to get into the tournament.
Yeah, but they had a tough schedule too,
you know. I mean, that's how deep mm-hmm. and how solid this division is. You know, you've got Danvers at number 15 out of 16.
Yeah.
And they're 9-9. So, I mean, there's only one team with a sub-500 record out of the 16 teams.
So it's going to be something.
Oh, this is going to be a battle.
And it begins tomorrow. And, again, the sites are at Woburn, Chelmsford. So we'll tell you as we go through this thing. Next up, it'll be Marblehead's Chris Wells. He's going to talk to us about his team. They'll be playing. Marblehead is seated number 4, Wilmington number 13, and their game is at Chelmsford tomorrow, Tuesday at 7 p.m. So we'll come back, talk with Coach Wells here in just a second. This is North Shore Sports Night on MSO News Sports.
Start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
Enjoy the taste of summer all year round at Cherry Farm Creamery. Pick up an ice cream cake for that special occasion. Cherry Farm Creamery offers the best ice cream right off Route 128 on Conant Street in Danvers. Or visit them at cherryfarmcreamery.com. Catch the big names in North Shore news and sports on MSO News Sports Podcasts. The North Shore's podcast leader for both news and sports features. Connecting you to the North Shore. MSONewsports.com. MSO Radio.
All right, we're back now with Marblehead coach Chris Wells. Coach, welcome back. How are you doing?
I'm
doing all right, guys. How about yourself?
Excellent. Just excellent. Now, I don't have your schedule up here in front of me. What was the most recent game you played? How'd you guys make out?
We were down in the Cape for a tournament, and we tied Nantucket the first game, and we beat them in a shootout.
Mm-hmm.
And then the championship game, we beat North Reading 3-1.
Okay, so, all right.
Tuesday, about a week ago.
All right, so tell me what it's been like now since then. What do you guys do? Because I just talked with the Linfield coach, John Gardner, and they were off for a week as well. So, you know, you play 2-3 games a week, sometimes even more during the season. Then you have this lull. So how does that work? What do you do?
Well, I mean, I gave the guys Wednesday off last week after the tournament. It was kind of, you know, lengthy bus trips each day back and forth. And then, you know, we practiced Thursday, Friday, and Sunday, and today, and Thursday, Friday, Sunday, I worked the guys pretty hard, pushed them as hard as I could, kind of get that playoff mentality going, you know, skated them hard, you know, just little things like that. Like, I just thought, I ramped it up, and I think I got a good response out of the guys.
Well, we talked about last time. We talked about getting a fast start. How'd you guys do in the tournament down there? Did you maintain what you did in Gloucester?
You know, not. We came out against Nantucket, so all right. You know, Nantucket was a pretty hard working team. They're tough. Did all right against them, but I think we probably should have won outright. You know, at North Reading, I thought we played a pretty solid game there. They're a tough, hardworking team, and you know, hung around. But I think, you know, majority of the game, we controlled most of the play. So it was a good overall game for us there.
When we talk, we did the Gloucester Linfield game last Wednesday, and before the game, both coaches, Coach Gardner and Coach Geary, were talking about the Division II seeds, the tournament, and, you know, what the possibilities would be. But looking at the Division II, Tim and I were just talking about it, 1 through 16, you guys are up toward the top, but it is a tough division, it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking with Phil Stacey of the Salem News, and I said to him, I said, you could just cross out all the seedings in front of these teams. Like, it's just almost anybody can win, come out of the North. It's you know, every game's tough. There's no cupcakes. So, I mean, you know, I know some teams might have a little edge over others, but we're looking at one goal games across the board.
When kids play in a tournament, Coach, the MIAA tournament, it's different from playing in a holiday tournament. And do they sense pretty much right away, you know, the importance of it is, what's the word I'm looking for? The urgency, I guess it is. You know, that's kind of a big stage thing, and do they kind of feel it? I mean, you know, you've talked about it, and you've got kids who have played in the tournament, but there's a different feeling, isn't there, for the kids when they go out on the ice?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a little more, you know, probably a little more nerves, a little more just revved up. You got to, you know, the atmosphere. You know, it's do or die. You know, if you lose, you're done. It's just, you know, and it's good to have this year. I think we got a little more experience as far as dealing with that than we did going into last year. So hopefully we'll be able to have some of our older guys, you know, lead by example and get things calmed down earlier than we did last year.
Without giving away any secrets, what do you look for in film? Because this is probably the only chance you get to really study. We've had a week off to take a look at the other teams' tapes and so on, or videos. So what are some of the things that you would look for in general if you were scouting a team?
Normally I'm going to look for, I'll start with special teams, see if they do anything particular on a power play, you know, how aggressive they are on penalty kill. You know, look at, see what type of forecheck they're going to run. You know, try to find where they're strong, try to find where they're weak, you know, whether it's, you know, the neutral zone, they give up turnovers and we capitalize on, or, you know, on the back end, they have a really good goalie that always makes a save. We need to get the rebounds. So, I mean, it's little things like that. It's just, you know, basics of the game that you can just find and try to capitalize off of it.
So what do you see from Wilmington now, again, without giving away any secrets, but, you know, in general, scouting report on them, what do they look like, how you guys I know that you value going up against him, and as you said, anybody, John Gardner was just saying 1 through 13 could probably win this thing, and Wilmington is rated number 13.
So, I mean, scouting report I got kind of from them, not a ton of firepower. They play in a tough conference, played some very good teams, hung in with some very good teams. I guess they're a gritty bunch of kids. They go 100 miles an hour, have a very good goaltender, tend to kind of feed off of him, and really will play pretty solid in their own zone. But that's about all I have of them. I don't have a whole lot. We're just, for us to be successful in this game, I think it sounds like we're going to need to get shots on net, and not only get on shots on net, we're going to have to get to that dirty area and get a rebound and score a goal, because from what I've heard, this kid's always going to make the first save.
You know, Coach, I had the opportunity, I taught at Winthrop, I think back now that I'm retired, 25 years ago, and they've got a proud athletic history. They've been competitive right across the board in all the sports every single year. And I remember the hockey team back when I was there was big, physical, and Wilmington rather, big and physical, and they gave a lot of teams a real tough time. And they're a real blue collar lunch bucket kind of team. They're going to come at you. They're going to fight. They're going to get in the corners. They're going to scrap. They're going to try to disrupt as much as possible as well.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Like, you know, and it's the nervous part for me, honestly, is we struggle against teams like this that are going to come out and really kind of punch us in the mouth. It'll be interesting to see how we respond. And I've already warned the guys. Like, oh, they're going to try to put you through the boards. Not many teams can skate with us. We need to use our speed and move the puck quickly, and catch them, kind of real aggressive in the contact and catch some, like maybe get some fast breaks on them.
You know, certainly, I guess the part of the strategy is going to be work the puck in the center of the ice, and if you're along the boards, get it to somebody coming by you as fast as you can.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much, we're going to have to take some hits to make some plays, and getting the puck up to our speedsters is key, and get hitting them in stride. I think that's where we could be successful, because I got a couple guys that can really move on this team.
All right, Coach, it's Marblehead versus Wilmington at Chelmsford. Do I have it right at 7 p.m. tomorrow?
That is correct.
All right, Chris, best of luck to you, and we'll talk again very soon.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, okay, Coach.
Good luck, Coach.
That is Marblehead High School hockey coach Chris Wells. And again, Marblehead, the highest ranked team from the Northeastern Conference. They're rated, they're the number 4 seed versus Wilmington, number 13. Next up, it'll be Andrew Jackson. And he's got the number 1 seed, Masconomet. They will be playing Stoneham, number 16, at Woburn at 6 o'clock tomorrow. So we'll check in with Coach Jackson once again. Appreciate his being by. This is North Shore Sports Night. By the way, you can email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. You can send along comments and suggestions compliments. There you go. And that's the other one. You can send compliments to me. Complaints go to Tim. So just let us know, msonewsports@gmail.com.
And I will respond to you.
He's got the big shoulders. All righty then. We'll be right back. This is North Shore Sports Night on this Monday. We'll talk with Bill Newell later on, covering basketball tonight, the tournament, Lynn Classical and Lynn English, boys basketball action.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
All right, we're back now with Masconomen High School hockey coach Andrew Jackson once again. And, Coach, welcome back to MSO. Thanks for taking the time tonight.
Once again, thank you so much, gentlemen.
Listen, you guys, you've held on to the number one seed. You've got it. You're in the top slot in Division II. And we were so far, we've got a lot of coaches we're talking with tonight, Coach. And so far, everybody has mentioned, in fact, not just the coaches, but people who have been covering the leagues are saying that this Division II tournament bracket, brackets, both of them, is really solid. And I wonder, when you look at the teams in the bracket, Coach, what do you see from Division II?
It's scary. we got the lucky draw and got Stoneham, which is an awesome, you know, Bill Sexley team. Like we all know, they play a gauntlet of a schedule. And, yeah, I mean, there are just so many good teams and so many good players. I don't know, it just seems this year that it's just so much more balanced. And I don't know, anyone from 1 through 16 could really, you know, make a run here. So, it's truly, you got to focus day by day. And, you know, I told our guys, I looked at the bracket just to see who we were playing and see when, and then I threw the bracket out because it doesn't matter.
Right. Coach, go ahead, Tim.
Oh, Coach, you know, every time I think of the Middlesex League, whether it's football, hockey, basketball, I always think that there's a minimum physical description that you have to meet in order to play sports in that league.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, you've got to be a minimum of 6'2", 225, you know, broad shoulders, and it's like, okay, and now you can play.
Yeah, they must have their own private water lines in that area. It's unbelievable. Just like the speed and strength they play with, it really is. It's a different level. But, you know, hopefully we can match that or surpass it tomorrow night. So,
you know, certainly one of the advantages you got to believe you're bringing into this game is the speed aspect. And, of course, in any sports, they say, you know, speed kills. And so the ability to avoid hits, the ability to get in and get out of the corners quickly, to get into open areas that half a step quicker is going to be an advantage for you.
Hopefully, yeah, that's what we're hoping. You know, we lost them the first time, actually. And, you know, they slowed us down a little bit, and ultimately, you know, we lost the special teams battle. But, that we're really going to, you know, try and use our speed, angling well. Even our speed on the back end has improved as the year's gone, as the season's gone on long. So, looking for those guys to step up as well, too. But, you're right, speed is a huge component in today's game, especially with, you know, generating power plays for yourself, too. You know, the speed aspect really helps.
What's the emphasis at practices last week, Coach? Pretty much, you guys, you know, you're in a routine, you're in a rhythm, you've got, you know, a good thing going, and the kids know what's happening. But you got some time off, and you get the jitters, I suppose, or you get hungry to get into the tournament. So what's practice been like the last few days?
Practice yesterday was fairly intense, and then practice today, you know, we want to have a little fun. We want to go over some situations that could arise, you know, overtime situations, face-off situations. But, you know, just to, you know, don't want to work them up too much because, you know, I'm sure we'll be, you know, excited enough tomorrow. But just to feel the puck a lot, you know, just check on your edges, make sure your skates and your equipment's all ready to go for tomorrow so there are no hiccups. But I think a lot of the seniors, we have nine, you know, they know what it takes at this point. They've been in the tournament. This will be the third time now they were denied as freshmen. So they're a pretty determined group, and, you know, they've been really focused, so we're lucky.
You know, Coach, I recognize that philosophy of backing it off the day before and making it a little bit lighter. I taught AP U.S. History at Gloucester for 19 years, and the last day in class, we didn't do anything. We sat down, we talked about, you know, things, answered any questions, and then I took them out for pizza the night before the test just to get them minds off of it. I said, don't go home, don't study, don't do anything. You know what you know. You know what you have to do. You're prepared. You know, I gave them their magic pencils the day that morning. I used to give them knowledge-infused pencils that I stuck into my forehead and I thought into each of them. And just to get them to relax and joke a little bit, and you want them to go in again with a confidence level that I'm set, I'm ready, I can execute what I have to do in order to make this come out in a positive fashion.
Yeah, that's what we, you know, tried to do. It was a shorter practice. You know, they got to play some shooting games and have some fun with it. So I let the seniors pick a couple drills. So it was good. It's a good vibe right now. And like I said, you know, we'll be ready for tomorrow. It's going to be a tough one.
Well, congratulations, Coach. It's been a great season thus far. Masconomet versus Stoneham at Woburn at 6 p.m. Do I have it right?
You got it. Perfect.
All right. Good luck, Coach. We'll talk to you later on.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks, Coach. Good luck.
That is Masconomet High School hockey coach Andrew Jackson. And where do I get some of those pencils?
Honestly, I would go out and I would buy really good pencils, all the same color. And I would stand in front of the class, and I would take the erasers. I didn't do the pointy ends. I would take the erasers, and I'd jab them in my forehead, and I would sit there and concentrate in front of them. They'd look at me like I got two heads. Of course, sometimes I did. And I'd break up, and I'd go, okay, these are now knowledge-infused pencils. You will use these pencils to take the test. And I gave each of them a knowledge-infused pencil.
Yeah, when I proctor the AP exams, I always tell them, try to do a few jokes before the class starts, and they're terrible. They don't elicit much response. They think it's fool. He is funny because he doesn't know what he's. But the other thing I do is I let them know how stress is unnecessary on that day of taking the test because the work has been done.
Right.
They know it. They're going to be fine. The worst they can do is to have to take a freshman course in college. I mean, you're going to do it anyway. So that's the worst that can happen.
Yeah.
So it's like nothing bad can happen. Yeah. I recognize that. And it's the same thing in sport, I guess. You just have to, and at this point in the season, what's the old thing is, you know what to do at this point. You're always talking about in baseball, don't think, just react.
Yeah, you have to just react.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's the key. You've done all the preparation. You've butted your butt. You've made the tournament. You know the plays. You know the defenses. And now you just have to go out and you have to play a team you probably haven't played all year. The school may not have even played ever before. But you go out and you execute the way you've done it, you know. And a lot, most of the time, it should come out in your favor. Sometimes it doesn't. So,
but even if it doesn't, the mental part of it, the emotional part of it, will carry you through once you've gotten to that point. And when a team is better than you are, they're better than you are.
Yeah, you know. I mean,
that's it.
I'm thinking back to. To my senior year, we ran the table, and then we lost consecutive games, Catholic tournament up at Lawrence Catholic, and then in the MIAA tournament. We were the first team to qualify for the MIAA tournament, but then we lost in the first round on a last-second steal in a basket. And I'll tell you, the emotions that you're crushed because, again, you've done all that work, and, you know, you've put yourself in a position to advance and then it sort of slips away. That's still tough.
You know? Mm-hmm. Of course it is.
Whether you're on
you play to win
at the high school, the college, or the pro level, it's tough. It's tough.
All right, Gary Larrabee's up next. He's tough too. We'll be right back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Alrighty, the great Gary Larrabee is with us now talking golf and other stuff. How are you, Gary?
Hi, guys. How we doing? This is a real golfy day today, huh?
Boy, was it ever. Hi.
Yeah, let me get my thing in. Friday, I went skiing. It was 3 degrees at the base. Perfect temperature, perfect snow, 100% sunshine, and now here we are in short sleeves, so you figured that one out. I don't know.
Yeah.
What you got, Gare?
Well, I lots of good news, I think, to report. First of all, good to see Rob Oppenheim and Overborn. I should say, Salem-born Andover bred, finishing ninth this weekend at the Puerto Rico Open down there in Rio Grande, shooting a very nice 13 under 275. He finishes 7 strokes off the winning score from the first Dutch player to ever win a PGA Tour event, Victor Hovland, who was a, as you guys know, a product of the NCAA American College Golf System. So he's, they expected him to have a great, a great career on the PGA Tour, and he certainly is showing that after winning yesterday. But good for Rob Oppenheim, and I thought there would be a fight might break out in the World Golf Championship event down in Mexico. You know, that's the event that Phil Mickelson won last year. Patrick Reed and Bryson DeChambeau, probably the two least popular players on the entire PGA Tour. No, they finished 1-2. They had a pretty good go of it, though. Reed finished at 266, 18 under, $1.8 million.
Whoa.
And DeChambeau finished second, one shot back, shooting and finishing, winning $1.15 million. Good for them. A second week in a row, guys, Rory McIlroy kind of gassed it on the final round when I think people thought he might be the guy to beat, but he has not finished a tournament off yet. As we get a little bit closer to, well, now we're going to be in Florida for 4 or 5 weeks, and then a few tune-ups for the Masters, but no one can question the you know, playability of Patrick Reed. No one likes him, but everyone loves to see the way he wins a lot of money, so congratulations for Patrick Reed, and let's see what happens. They start in Florida this week, and the show must continue.
All right, Gary, I was just thinking as I was dialing you up, these early tournaments, how much do they get in terms of TV viewership? I know as the season gets on and once the Masters hits, I think the golf fanatics and the near golf fanatics are definitely more tuned in to the competition throughout the rest of the season. But how do they draw on TV in these early winter days?
I think they do fine, but of course they do a lot better when Tiger's playing and in contention. But of course he finished dead last week, or didn't even do the. I don't think he did the TV ratings any good that he even made the cut at Riviera, because he didn't play this weekend. And I'm not sure how soon he's playing again. I think he's playing two tournaments in Florida, getting ready for the Masters. But I think yesterday was not a very good example. Two players that are not liked by the players and not very well, I don't think, that don't impress the viewers. I got to believe the ratings were pretty bad yesterday, because I got to believe that the Celtics-Lakers game beat the Panthers out of the golf tournament.
Yeah. Now, what has DeChambeau done that's pissed so many people off? I know. You know, Reed has the label of cheater now. And, in fact, I turned it on yesterday afternoon, and I saw Reed tee off, and I went, no, I don't want to watch him. And I flipped the channel.
Well, the fact is he's one of the top 10, 15 players in the world, and he's won at least one major, I believe. And he's, you know, not Mr. Personality, and doesn't show much at all out there on the course, but he's a hell of a player. And, you know, DeChambeau, also an outstanding player. You know, DeChambeau is the fellow who plays, I think, with a set of clubs with a length of each club. They're all the same. All the irons are all the same length, which is a little, but he's also supposedly quite a skirt chaser out there, from what I understand. And that's also made very unpopular with his fellow players. But a good tournament, like it was last week, and like it was the week before at Pebble Beach. And, you know, we can really start counting down. It's like 6 weeks, I think, to Augusta.
Any idea how much money Rob won?
Rob won, I believe, I think 75 grand. Yeah, 75 grand.
Nice.
It's not a bad week for him, but he's still got a long ways to go to continue his struggle as he's turned 40 now. And He's still, you know, out there and making it happen every once in a while. And I still have some belief that he will break through 1 week or another. At some point, he'll break through and he'll win. But
I hope so. That'd be cool.
He's keeping us hanging for quite a quite a while here, but good for him to finish tied for ninth.
All right, did you watch the Celtics?
Of course.
What do you think? I mean, you know, they ended up, it was a great road trip, really, and they only lost by 2 points in a really emotion-filled game. How do you assess them now at this point, Gary? Because they can contend, can't they?
No question. And in fact, they played so well yesterday for so long, you know, without their top scorer and their point guard, Kemba Walker, is a good thing. But the troubling aspect, Rick, was that they had the game pretty much in their pocket with a little over a minute to go, and then they, I think Hayward missed a putback, and then they missed a defensive rebound off a missed free throw, I think, by LeBron James that Davis got involved with. They didn't box him out, and that got the ball back to the Lakers. Then they turned the ball over later, and I mean they gifted that game to the Lakers in the last minute. But there's still some positives to show from it. You know, Tatum's incredible now; he's become a top 10 player probably in the league. Brown had his moments, but I think that right now they're definitely a factor in the playoffs. It's just a question whether they have to play the Bucks in the second round, or they don't. They can play them in the conference final, because the key right now is to beat out Toronto for the second best record in the conference. That would allow them, by winning the East Division, that would allow them to avoid Milwaukee until the conference final. But the fact remains, you got to beat them, whether it's in the second round or the third round. And but as long as they get some health back by the time the playoffs start, which is such a big factor, whether it's basketball, hockey, baseball, or football.
All right.
They'll be a factor, and everyone's convinced of that, particularly after yesterday's performance.
Excellent, excellent. All right, Gary, we'll check in with you next Monday.
Carry on, man.
Sounds good, thanks.
All right, Mr. Larrabee, have a good week.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Gary Larrabee, sports historian, golf writer.
He sounds great for 106, doesn't he?
106?
Yeah. did you see the...
yes, Katherine Johnson?
Yes.
Yes.
I watched Hidden Numbers.
In fact, I've contacted NASA. I want to try to get an interview about it.
Meme and I watched that about a month ago. Mm. And we had it on the DVD, and we hadn't watched it, so we finally sat down together and watched it. And I was just so impressed with the movie and how well it was done. In portraying their experiences. And I opened up the paper today, and I saw the obituary, and I read through it and going, wait a minute, is she? And I read down through, and she was one of the ones. I think she was the main character.
Oh, Katherine Johnson White.
In the film.
Yeah, she was the leader, the leading calculator. It was a room full of calculators. They were human calculators. And she's a genius. She was a mathematical genius.
Well, the
three of them were the three leading women.
At that time, the women on who the fate of NASA rested were a room of African-American women.
Yes.
Who had, in many people's eyes, no place in society.
They were put down. They were, and even there at NASA, they were not respected.
And as like, you know, without these women, and of course...
And how about the lady who has to break into a library, steal a book from IBM, and then she teaches her women, she teaches her staff how to run the computers because no one else could do it,
right.
Not even IBM.
Yeah, you know, and
they did it.
You know, and John, we don't know whether we should go, what we're going to do. Okay, well, get Kathleen.
Ask Catherine. No, ask Catherine. You put Catherine on the phone. I don't know how much poetic license there was with that, but I guess that part is true, that John Glenn personally wanted to know what Catherine thought.
Yeah, and that scene where the astronauts come to NASA and they're meeting all the workers and the women from that office are all standing off to the side, and Glenn made it a point to go over there and shake all their hands.
Yep.
And everybody else was like dumbfounded, and you're thinking, now there's a man of principle. Yeah.
Well,
so we thank her for her contribution. We look to honor
her. She is a woman who deserves the Medal of Freedom.
Oh, boy, did she ever.
Yeah.
Did she ever, all those women involved.
All right. Okay. We'll come back with Dale Dunbar, the Winthrop High School hockey coach. After that, we're going to be talking with Ryan Sheehan from Triton. And then we'll check in with Bill Newell, who's at a basketball game. So we're going to get this train rolling here. This is North Shore Sports Night. We'll be right back.
I'm Bob Gillis, president of Cape Ann Savings Bank, serving the Cape Ann community with stability and commitment for over 170 years. Since 1846, our customers have relied on our local bank service and big bank benefits. Stop by our offices or call to talk about your banking needs at 978-283-0246. Built on community, CapeAnnSavings.bank.
Member FDIC. Member DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester, now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore.
All right, looks like Coach may be at practice, so we'll have to go to Plan B. We will be talking with Triton. But let me just give you the numbers on this one here. Let me see here. Number 12, Winthrop, will be playing number 5, Triton, at Stoneham, 8 p.m. tomorrow. So we'll be talking with, hopefully we'll get a hold of Coach Dunbar in a little while. But next up will be Triton's hockey coach, Ryan Sheehan. Again, they'll be playing Winthrop. So number 5 versus number 12 at Stoneham tomorrow.
I know why Dale Dunbar's not answering.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to hear what the Triton coach has to say first. He doesn't want to give the Triton coach a chance to hear him first.
You think? Plot. Do you think these coaches actually listen to the program? Well, there it is.
I'm telling you. Hello.
You turn him off. You turn him off.
Why did I do that?
Yeah.
I didn't do that.
All right. Go ahead. Redial. Left button.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Hit that. Yep. Okay, you hit the one now. So, all right, you hit the one.
Oh,
yeah, so that was redial the one. So here you go. We'll get this. We'll figure it out sooner or later here. Da-da-da-da-da-da. And we are live as the one ringy dingy. Who used to do that? Two ringy dingy.
Lily Tomlin.
Oh yeah.
And
Ernestine.
Ernestine.
Hey Dale, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. I have to apologize. I screwed up the phone thing.
Tim Kearns is here. Yeah, he hung up on you. We didn't mean to.
No worries.
All right.
Technology and me, we are not friends.
All right, Coach, we're going through the Division II deal here. And let's see. So far, we've talked with the Linfield coach, Marblehead coach, Mascanoma coach, and the Gloucester coach is not available tonight. But you're up now. What's your assessment of this Division II? Because Coach Gardner in Linfield was saying he picks – anybody from 1 to 13 can win it. And as I'm looking at this thing, that includes Winthrop.
Oh, I agree. I definitely agree. Tell you right now, we're healthy again. We had two great practices today, the best I've seen our team compete all year. They're all confident. They're all ready to go. And I agree with them. I think any of the high seeds, you know, better be ready for the lower seeds because any given night, you know, we know how that goes.
You know, because we were talking to Andrew Jackson from Masco a few moments ago, and he said, you know, for him today, the practice was a little bit lighter, a little more relaxed, because at this point in the season, there isn't much you can do to change things. You know, they've done the hard work. They've got themselves into this position. They know what their jobs are. Now let's just go out there and skate and play the best we can.
Well, you know, I agree to that to a point. Again, it's the makeup of your team. I mean, Herb Brooks skated the 80 team into the ground the day before the gold medal game to bring him back to earth. You know, everything turns to zeros. You can't go by
what you've done, whether you're conference champions or whatever. I mean, now it's single elimination, and I think you really need to accentuate the things that are going to, you know, hopefully propel you into the next rounds. And for us, we concentrate a lot on special teams and, you know, just forechecks and just, you know, we scrimmaged but got all of our principles in with our scrimmaging. So, you know, you can't pace yourself that way. And I think, you know, maybe for the higher seeds that they may be pretty skilled, maybe that's the approach. But I know for us, it's worked, Pale.
Well, guys, you have a young team too, don't you, Coach? And you mentioned injuries. So I'm kind of putting this all together. They still need the reps, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that can go both ways. Young can listen. I get an opportunity to play and work. And for the older teams, it's, you know, sometimes when you're expected to win, there's more pressure on you. And play loose and just bring it. So I think there's all different philosophies. Every coach has their own, and they're all successful, by niche into their coaching styles. And we'll see at the end who's works.
Okay, yep. You know, Rick talked about the bracket, and what amazed me is in this year, the Sullivan Rule and a 500 record gets people in. You've got to go all the way to the number 16 to find a team with a sub 500 record getting in. Like in past years, you know, there might be two or three teams with a sub 500 record filling out the bracket, but boy, this team, and you look at the teams themselves, the names of the teams, and you're going, okay, these guys have all been here before.
Right, right. And I think, you know, that does help you to a certain point. I mean, you know, that's one of our, obviously, it's one of our goals. But, you know, like I said, it doesn't matter how you get there. And I told our kids, we've been up and down all year. This is the most trying year, one of the most trying years I've had coaching, but at the end of the day, all you got to do is get to the dance, turn everything to reset to zero, and see who's bringing it.
Yeah, Coach. It,
so it doesn't matter how you get there. I think all those rules are going to start changing as well. So you know, for this year, you know, I think it's an interesting North. I really do.
Mm. Coach, you mentioned that it's been a challenging year for the team in terms of getting the wins, and you've been in, you know, so many games, even games you haven't won. But it sounds to me like you're pretty proud of these guys.
You know, I am. You know, like I said, it was a tough year. Mostly we had a lot of, you know, we had a lot of different things that creeped in. And, you know, we found a way, whether it was the last day or not, to get in. And that's something that we haven't been used to in the past. But it is what it is, and but they've persevered, and right now, you know, we have some meetings and we've been talking about things, and I really have to say we had a team party the other night, and it was built around Michael's miracle, you know, the 40th anniversary. He was there.
We were watching it on TV. Yep.
Yeah, and you know what? I think the kids started to something clicked for some reason.
Gee, I wonder why.
and things like that.
Yeah.
So,
hey, what was that like, Coach? Because Mike Lynch had a special on that, he had an interview with Coach Arruzzioni and stuff. What was it like for you and the kids and everybody was there?
Oh, it was fun. I mean, you know, I've been through it a lot with Michael, and Mike Lynch is a great guy. I know him pretty well, and I love his commentary, and I love the way he brings things just the whole magnitude of what it did for USA Hockey and a country, and we know.
We lost the coach.
Out of it. Every time you're around it.
Yeah.
Coach, I have to ask, because as the listener to hometown hero, we hear that term all the time, but Mike Arruzzioni is literally the hometown hero.
Yeah, I mean, he inspired me, obviously. I went to BU. I wore 21 my first year. Went to all the games, idolized Jack Parker, got to play for him, which was a childhood dream. You know, it was nice to have that person to pave the way. And there's nobody better. And so just because he's a close friend of mine, there's nobody better at since the Olympics of promoting his teammates, hockey, the message, everything that has come with that,
to still resonate 40 years later, as much as it did probably the day they won it, than Michael. I mean, he was just to have an Eastern captain on a Western, predominantly Western team and a Western philosophy. Obviously, Herb Brooks did a masterful job, but he saw something in Michael, and Michael's had that his whole life, always undersized, always, you know, being doubted. So it was, you know, it was truly a miraculous event, but it I think the what it's done on so many other levels, the impact has really paid off. I mean, just look at our Olympic teams, look at our World Junior teams, look at the way we do things. There's in the NHL, college hockey, everything. And if you ask any of those guys that are pros now or within that, you know, 10 to 15 year era, I mean, they all looked at Miracle as what propelled them.
You know, I every time I see a picture of Mike, especially around the team and what happened, his smile is exactly the smile he had on that day when they beat the Russians, and then on a Sunday when they beat
was it Finland?
Was it Finland or Norway for the
Finland
for the gold medal? That smile has never changed.
No, it hasn't. And again, he's so genuine. That's why people love to be around him. People are always asking him, you know, whether it's endorsements or just to come speak to their groups. He's just, he's real. He's enthusiastic. But he puts the perspective into life. It wasn't just a sporting event. It wasn't just a hockey game. The magnitude has reached so many other levels, and it's helped people in other facets of their life become successful. And it's funny, you know, we were watching it the other night, and the lights are out, and I'm sitting next to him, and I asked him a question that I'd never really asked him as much as we've been together. I said, what were you thinking as you're singing the national anthem in front of millions of people by yourself, and the whole world's watching you? He said, it's interesting you say that, because I've never really been asked that. He said, but I was thinking of Winthrop growing up, going home, everything has just hit a different level. He said, my whole house and, you know, the family and everything. And he said, that's what flashed in front of me, youth hockey, high school, his buddies. So that's Michael. That's why he still lives on the same street, almost in the same house. He could live anywhere. He could do whatever he wants. And we still go out every Thursday night, the same group of guys. And to him, he's just Mike with us. I mean, all over the world, he's endeared, and, you know, people come up to him in the airports. I've been with him on events where, you know, it's overwhelming. But for me, it's just, you know, Cap. We call him Cap. It's Mike. It's around Winthrop. He's just another guy, and that's the way he likes it.
You know, and that's the final thing, because final comment that I have on Mike is, you know, with the notoriety that he gained through that Olympic experience, he could have gone and lived anywhere he wanted, but he chose to come back to the hometown and just continues to do so much for not only Winthrop hockey, but Winthrop athletics and the town itself.
So it was, and you would read the book, you know, it's funny because I told him I haven't read a book since kindergarten probably, or whatever that was, you know, in back to back. I picked it up and I couldn't put it down. And because I know all the characters in it, I know all of us, you know, the parties, and but I know really the genuine love of what he has for family. And if you know the three-decker and the three levels of families, all cousins, and the open door, there's not one thing that's fabricated in that book. It's so true. Michael says, if I didn't like what my mother was cooking, I went down to my aunt, you know, and a floor down, you know, and it's so true. I mean, that family, they competed, cut each other open. They shot on Michael at one point because he was the youngest. He'd come in all bruised, and his mother would chase his uncle around with a broom for hitting
the wooden spoon.
It's real.
Yeah.
It's real.
Coach, thanks for sharing that with us, man. That's a bonus. I really appreciate it. And I think you've taken us to a better understanding of what Winthrop Pride is.
Yeah, you know, I think every town's unique and genuine in its own right. We've all had our hometown heroes. We're all people we look after. And I think that's the beauty of amateur sports, especially at the high school level. you know, it's about playing for your town. People are counting on you to keep that tradition going. Something I remind my players about all the time. And that's why it's so fun to coach these kids and coach for your town. There's no pressure. It's more of making everybody understand how special you are where you live.
All right. It's Winthrop tomorrow versus Triton at Stoneham, 8 p.m. Is that right?
Vikings versus Vikings.
All right. We got it. Thank you, Coach. We'll talk to you later.
Sounds great.
Thanks, Dale.
Thanks, Coach.
That is Dale Dunbar, who was the Winthrop High School hockey coach. Well, that was a bonus. I don't know why I didn't even think to ask him. I'm glad he brought that up, because I did see it on Channel 5 the other night. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, Lynchy sitting back watching the game.
Yeah. All right, going a little long here. We're going to come right back with Ryan Sheehan, the Triton High School hockey coach. Hang in there.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Did you know that professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States? And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, you should see the Anderson Woodright replacement windows, which can add considerable value to any home. See the Anderson windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire, or visit us at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Enjoy the taste of summer all year round at Cherry Farm Creamery. Pick up an ice cream cake for that special occasion. Cherry Farm Creamery offers the best ice cream right off Route 128 on Conant Street in Danvers. Or visit them at cherryfarmcreamery.com. This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
All right, now with Bill Newell. He's covering tonight's basketball game between Lynn English and Lynn Classical. Hey, Bill.
Hey, man, how are you?
Doing good. It's been a hockey night up to this point, except when we talked to Gary. So we're going to switch gears a little bit. What are you watching?
Well, I've got a sweater on for the hockey talk, but I'm also very warm in here at the English High Meals House. And it is English leading 57-42, with just seconds to go in the third quarter. English broke out to a big 12-3 lead. Classical rallied back, closed it down to within a couple in the first half. But it's been an English basketball game here tonight. English creeping back a little bit here late third quarter. But again, 57-42 Bulldogs, the number two seed in D1 North. And they look to advance, but we still have another quarter to go here.
All right, Bill, I know you're busy. You're working. We'll check with you later. We're gonna see this up on the website in a little while.
Yeah, and tonight, and I'm not that busy. How's Tim? Is he really okay? Good.
Yeah, he's vertical. He's here.
Thank you for asking, Bill.
You could.
You know I care. You know I care so much. But
yeah.
Who's the
Everybody's been asking about you here tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, all my old Lynn friends. I'm sure. Yes.
Folks, he's okay. Don't worry about it. Okay. All right, they just blew the horn for you.
All right. All right, Bill, we'll check with you later on.
You got it.
All right, thanks, Bill.
Bye-bye.
Bill Newell covering the Lynn English Lynn Classical game. And say, everybody cares about you, Coach.
He mocked me.
No, he wasn't mocking you.
He mocked me.
How was that mocking you? Everybody was asking, where's Tim? How's Tim doing? You're so sensitive.
I know the tone.
Okay. All right, I think that's it then. We did not make connections with Coach Sheehan, although, you know what? Let's do one more break, and I'm going to see what that message is. So we'll do one more break.
You'll love the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, as they feature a menu to please everyone. Start your meal with your choice from a dozen delicious appetizers. There are also soups and fresh salads. Dinner selections include burgers, sirloin tips, chicken parmesan, chicken piccata, and then there's seafood, clams, haddocks, salmon, lobsters, and fish tacos, plus a wide selection of sandwiches and wraps. Let the Bradford Tavern host your events or functions set in unique spaces. Open 6 days a week, Tuesday through Sunday. The Bradford Tavern, Route 133 Rowley, and BradfordTavern.com.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States. They do so because Anderson Windows and patio doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows at any of our three locations in Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Check out live sporting events on MSO News Sports and exclusive interviews with coaches and players. When it comes to local news and sports, MSO News Sports keeps you connected to the big stories.
All righty, that's going to do it. We apologize. We did not get a hold of Coach Sheehan, but again, tomorrow that game will be Winthrop versus number 12 Winthrop versus number 5 Triton in hockey at the Stoneham Arena at 8 p.m. So that covers it. Other games, Gloucester versus Wakefield. I will be at that game. I'll be covering it, not broadcasting it. That's at Stoneham at 6 p.m. Number 2 Lincoln Sudbury will be playing number 15 Danvers at Watertown. That's 5:30. Number 3 Tewksbury versus number 14 North Reading at Chelmsford, 5 p.m. And this one should be really something too. Number 8 Boston Latin versus number 9 Everett at Watertown at 7:30 p.m. And that's the Division II lineup in high school hockey. Final thoughts there, Coach?
Well, should be a whiz bang, as they used to say, of a of a tournament with the team so tightly bunched together. If you don't bring the A game, the B game is not going to be good enough.
For sure. All right, that's Tim Kearns. On behalf of Tim, Bill Newell, our producer and engineer, Bill Propaska, I'm Rick Moore. This has been North Shore Sports Night. Send your comments, complaints, or whatever, msonewsports@gmail.com. This is MSO News Sports.